a very long reading today. It's a good thing I'm not Sean, isn't it? Starting off with 60 seconds and how many words and how many things that are in each Torah. I can't do that bit. That's his domain. So let us pray for the word, for my word that I'm about to bring. Abba Father, we just pray that you will open our eyes and see that so that we can see wondrous things from your Torah today. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart, Abba Father, be acceptable in your presence, because you are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Today I'm speaking from Devarim, or Deuteronomy. I don't need the glasses on. From chapter 20, verses 19 to 20. And I've named it to preserve the trees that give life. You notice that in our reading today that Yah was speaking of different trees. So if we can go to Deuteronomy 20, 19 and 20, please. When in making war against the town in order to capture it, you lay siege to it for a long time, you are not to destroy its trees, cutting them down with an axe. You can eat their fruit, so don't cut them down. After all, are the trees in the field human beings, so that you have to besiege them too? However, if you know that certain trees provide no food, you may destroy them and cut them down in order to build siege works against the town, making war with you until it falls. Now the trees of the field that this is speaking of speaks of our lives. And this is obscure little instruction in the Torah and Devarim Deuteronomy holds to me great significance to the issue of the believer's life of today. It's an instruction or a law that can be ensures care is given to the means by which food is obtained. We all need food. We're in drought at the moment. Food is going to get short. Yehovah said, when you go into the promised land, preserve the trees that produce food. So do not destroy the trees, you can eat their fruit. In other words, do not destroy that which is intended for life and food. Careless destruction may be followed by a need for the very thing that was destroyed. However, there is some more significance than this. We see a fruit tree, it is said to be man's life preserved in the cities. In the New Jerusalem, we read of this in Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, in slide 3, please. Next the angel showed me the river of water of life, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of Yehovah and of the Lamb. Between the main street and the river was the tree of life, producing 12 kinds of fruit, a different kind every month, and the leaves of the trees were for healing the nations. The New Jerusalem is a city with fruit for life contained in it. The scriptures also speak of people as trees, as being two kinds of trees. We go to Matityahu 7, 15 to 20 on slide 4. Beware of the false prophets. They come to you wearing sheep's clothing, but underneath they are hungry wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. Can people pick grapes from thorn bushes or pick figs from thistles? Likewise, every healthy tree produces good fruit, but a poor tree produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, or a poor tree good fruit. Any tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you will recognize them by their fruit. This is how we are recognized. Good or it's evil. And this is because there were two kinds of trees that were very spiritual and effective towards man's spirituality, the tree of life. And the tree of good knowledge of good and evil was the one they weren't to touch. Since we are made from the dust of the ground, and the seeds that are in the fruit are planted in the ground, our lives grow like one of those two trees. It's our choice as to which tree we want to be. The element in the fruit tree of life that differs from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the fact that it gave life. It was the tree of life. It produced life. Yah said that the forbidden tree would bring death. The instruction in our reading from Devarim stated that the fruit trees give life and therefore must be preserved. But the forbidden tree, or the fruit tree which was contradictory to this truth, it was a tree. It cannot be preserved. That the city in the book of Revelation, there is only one tree of life and not the tree of good and evil that we have to pursue. All other life-giving trees will be cut down and burned. In Matityahu chapter 3 and verse 7, in slide 5 please. But when Jochanan saw many of the Perushim and the Zedukim coming to be immersed by him, he said, "You snakes, who warned you to escape the coming punishment? If you have really turned from your sins to Elohim, produce fruit that will prove it. And don't suppose you can comfort yourselves by saying, Avraham is our father, for I tell you that Elohim can raise up for Avraham sons from these stones. Already the axe is at the root of the trees, ready to strike. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." Notice the words from verse 8. It says, if you have really turned from your sins to Elohim, then produce fruit that will prove it. We can't just make a commitment and go back onto our old ways. Our fruit show that we are in other words, we have to bring forth fruit of life or we need to be cut down. The words of Yeshua in Matityahu are just like the instructions of Devarim in Deuteronomy. Life-giving fruit trees must be preserved. These fruits correspond to the desire to do Yehovah's will. And if we're not doing his will, if we're not observing Shabbat, if we're not keeping the festivals, then we have to be cut down. We need to be people whose hearts seek to do the will of Yehovah, as did his son Yeshua. We need to search out his will. We have to want to do his will that we look for it and we find it, we will obey it. It is these kinds of hearts that will be preserved by Yehovah forever in the cities of all cities, the New Jerusalem. Who's ready to go to the New Jerusalem? We have to be producing the right fruit. Traffic must have been terrible.
Over 2 hours.
Over 2 hours.
Yeah, but we went late because Ella is sick. So
praise Yah, you made it.
Over 2 hours.
Welcome. We need to be people whose hearts seek the will of Yehovah, as did his son, Yeshua. We need to search out that will of Yehovah. In Tehillim Psalms 1, it speaks of fruit that Yehovah ensures will last forever. In slide 6, please. How blessed We pray this over our children every week. To me, it's really important to pray this over our children. How blessed are those who reject the advice of the wicked and don't stand on the way of sinners or sit where scoffers sit. Their delight is in Yehovah's Torah. They bear their fruit in season, their leaves never wither, everything they do succeeds. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff driven by the wind. For this reason, the wicked won't stand up to the judgment, nor will sinners at the gathering of the righteous. For Yehovah watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed. You see, you can be saved. You can come to Yehovah and accept his word and get salvation through the Tanakh. I did it through the Tanakh many, many years ago. You don't need New Testament scripture for salvation. But that doesn't mean you don't read it later on. But you don't need it for salvation. The most important thing is to turn from your sins. The most important thing is turn, 180 degree turn towards Yehovah and obedience to his Torah. These people who observe this Tehillim or Psalm will delight on Yehovah's Torah, and they also will be a delight to him. They meditate on the instructions of Yah always, because they are people who make an effort to know the will of Yah, since they have a strong desire to please him. They do not stand in the way or in the manner or in the habit of sinners, meaning their lives are good lives. They are true believers. They do not walk in the counsel of the unrighteous. They don't listen to the wrong things and follow them. For they do not seek to do wrong, but seek to do what is right. To me, this psalm says it all. And we pray it, as I said, over the children every week. In Psalm 1 and verse 3, I'll repeat again. The children are to be trees, and we are to be like trees planted by streams. They bear their fruit in its season, their leaves never wither, and everything they do succeeds. We have to believe that Yah will allow us to succeed. We might be moving out of this building in 2 weeks' time, but we will succeed in finding a new venue before then. Yah promises it. It's not a problem. It's not something I'm fearful of. What I want is something that we can have on a permanent basis that will be fulfill everything we need for this congregation. Because Yehovah is going to ensure that these trees, and that's you, will last forever. Why? Because people need to feed from these kind of believers. Yah told Israel to preserve the fruit trees that give life in the cities during the war, because people need those trees for life. They need it for their food. He sees how sinners need something that will give them life, so he preserved those believers whose lives are so desirous to do his will. Sinners who see believers like that are like starving and hungry people seeing a tree full of fruit. They want that fruit. They want what you've got. That's what we have to be in the community. I know I want to do the will of Yehovah, and it's not just to escape the hell and fire that moves me to do his will, but it's for the happiness and the joy I have in doing it and watching Yah bless me daily, and he does. Nobody can enjoy happiness while living a life contrary to Yehovah's will. They think self-gratification makes them happy. It might in the moment, but it's not lasting. And then they go searching for something bigger and better and bigger and better, but they're never satisfied. They need that something to put them back on a high. I get my high from being in Yah's presence. I get my high from being in your company. That's what fulfills me each week. It is said in Yochanan in slide 7, please, in 1 John 1:4. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So how do we make our joy complete? I love singing the Avinu prayer. We did it today, known in English as the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to do now is have a look at this prayer. And as you all know, I use it as my prayer pattern in my prayer life every day. But this is more of a pattern for life in general that I'm going to go through at the moment. So we go to slide 8, please, Matthew 6:9-13. You therefore pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us the food we need today. Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who've wronged us. And do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. For kingship, power and glory are yours forever. Amen. Do you note what verse 13 says? Do not lead us into hard testing, or as some versions say, temptation, and keep us safe from the evil one. Sometimes it can be more hard testing than it is temptation. Because some people are not tempted. Don't offer me anything sweet. I won't accept it. I'm not tempted by sweet things. I don't like sweet. I like the savoury. It's got salt on it. Yeah, I love it. But if it's something sweet, I can't eat it. That can be a temptation. Sweets can be a temptation to people. Yep.
Can you just pause for a couple of minutes, please?
Yep, what have happened?
We've lost the video. We need to restart. So.
Okay, we're restarting. He says, Yeshua says that this is a picture of human lives. And we can be confident that we have better things to come by observing Yeshua, his lifestyle, his Torah, his Shabbats. Did you note that it says that the human lives come from the earth, which bears thorns and briars or thistles, and is rejected and is close unto cursing? When sin occurs in our lives, it's due to our hearts. Sin occurs due to the evil desires in the heart. So the desires of the heart have to be considered. When we sin, we need to seek Yehovah's forgiveness. Yah is faithful to forgive us if we admit in prayer to him that we have sinned and are truly sorry for that sin. That means when we've repented, we don't go back and do it again to ask forgiveness again. It means that we turn from it and never go back to it. And that's how he knows if we are truly sorry or if it's just lip service. And there's a lot of lip service forgiveness out there. Many people are not sorry for their sins, but they are only sorry that they were caught in their sins. Two different things. However, what about committing the same sin again in the future? If we had a desire to commit the sin, although we also had a desire to be forgiven and were truly sorry, What is it to say we will not commit that sin again? Nothing. We would not, the evil desire still remains within us. Despite a desire to be able to stop committing it. So even though we don't want to do it again, we still do it again. It's not strange at all to desire two things. To desire a sin and to desire ceasing from that sin is common in most people. The reality is that although they desire to stop sinning, it's actually the consequences of sinning they desire not to experience, not the sin. For the desire for the sin itself is still there. So seeking forgiveness is obtaining it is one thing, but there is not hope beyond forgiveness. There is. King David committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba and wrote an entire psalm of repentance in Tehillim 51. He sought forgiveness. And let's read slide 12, please. In Tehillim, Psalm 51, 1 to 3, it says, "For the leader, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after his affair with Bathsheba. Elohim, in your grace, have mercy on me. In your great compassion, blot out my crimes. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my crimes, my sin confronts me all the time." You see, what King David realized was that he wasn't sinning against himself or Bathsheba. He was actually sinning against Yehovah himself. And this is the difference when we confess our sins. It's not just asking forgiveness for the sin, but asking Yah for his forgiveness, knowing that he knows the sin before we committed it, knowing that it was unto him that we made the offence, not unto ourselves. And we go on in verse 4 and it says, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil from your perspective, so that you are right in accusing me and justified in passing sentence." King David knew. How many people know today that if they sin and ask forgiveness, that they're actually sinning against Yah? They don't see it that way. They see it totally differently. They don't realize that they're actually violating Yehovah's Torah and have sinned against him. That this affects Yah and his relationship with us. We need to realize this. If we have broken Yah's Torah, we have to deal with him when we sin. King David appreciated the fact that he actually sinned against Yah and not only against his wife and his family. And this is what is important. But he went beyond seeking forgiveness. He went further. Let's go to slide 13. In verses 6 to 10, it says, "Still, you want truth in the inner person, from the heart. So make me know wisdom in my inmost being. Sprinkle me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the sound of joy and gladness so that the bones you crushed can rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins and blot out all my crimes." And this important one, "Create in me a clean heart, Elohim. Renew in me a resolute spirit." King David realized Yehovah wants truth on the inside. He wants it from the heart. He wants it from our inmost being. The outward acts of sin needs to be forgiven. But what good is trimming the hedges If the life of the tree is evil, it's not going to do anything. It will only grow evil fruit again. So King David went beyond seeking forgiveness. He asked Yah to create something in him. That is going beyond forgiveness. You would think a person is the same way that a person is, period. How can a heart change? One's desires are simply there and one has them, full stop. However, King David's faith knew better than that. He believed Yah for something that many believers do not even consider a possibility. He had the faith that Yah could change his desires, what comes from his heart. Many people simply believe that people are the way they are and they will always be that way. Stubborn people will always be stubborn. Some people believe that troublemakers will always be troublemakers. Problem believers will always believe they'll be problem believers, and no change is ever preached to them. But you are listening to someone who believes and addresses that Yah can change people and their desires. And I can spend hours with people doing that. That's a joy to me. Yes, it's draining, but it's a joy to be able to get to their inmost being and remove those desires of evil. But they have to have a genuine desire to change with a contrite heart. Because I've worked with people that have still gone back into their evil worldly ways. Nothing I can do about that. I've had to let them go. Yah can create in you a clean heart. He can create in you a desire source that is clean and pure. Your heart is where your desires are formed. A bad heart produces bad fruit. Yah can create a clean heart in you. Do you recall that David said in Tehillim Psalms 51 and verse 10, when I said, create in me a clean heart and renew a resolute spirit, or an unbendable spirit within him. He then prayed this next prayer in slide 14, in verse 11. Don't thrust me away from your presence. Don't take your Ruach HaKodesh away from me. Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, where Yehovah's presence was when he took that fruit from the tree of death in his life. King David's words actually reveal that a bad heart is like a tree bearing bad fruit that causes one to be cast from the presence of Yehovah, as Adam was when he ate the forbidden fruit. The forbidden fruit brings out in our lives after its kind. The seed is in the fruit that causes the reproduction of that evil thing. The fruit of life are the manifestations from a true believer's life, that they are food for the lost souls of the world around us. A man, King David, who committed adultery due to the existence within himself of an evil heart, asks Yah to create in him, do something different, create, make in him a clean heart. And then he says in 51, 12 and 13, restore my joy in your salvation and let a willing spirit uphold me. Then I will teach the wicked your ways and sinners will return to you. Not only did King David want to be healed and cleansed, but then he wanted to then turn around and serve Yah. After King David's heart was evil, he asked Yah to create something within him. Then he said he would be able to teach transgressors or sinners the way of Yehovah. Sinners would be converted to Yah after King David was given a new heart. In other words, King David's life would bear the fruit of life for sinners to eat and actually receive life themselves by coming into Yehovah's kingdom. King David's life and his adultery would then be holy. His desires would be changed. Instead of bearing the fruits of sin that only hurt and sting like thorns and do not give life, he would bear fruit for life. How? Yehovah would create a clean heart in him. And this responds to Yeshua's words in Yochanan 15, 1-3 on slide 15, please. It says, I am the real vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. Ouch. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. Right now, because of the word which I have spoken to you, maybe some of you are sitting there being pruned. Yeah. And he's cutting. Yeah. Yep. The branches that bear fruit. King David requested in Tehillim Psalms 51:7, sprinkle me with hyssop and I will be clean. Yeshua said that we are clean through the word which he spoke, and then we read it in Psalms or Tehillim 51:10. King David asked Yah to create in him a clean heart. Yeshua said it's done by the word which he has spoken. Does creation and the spoken word ring a bell? The two go hand in hand, don't they? During the time the earth was created, Yah spoke everything into being. Because Yehovah created all things by the spoken word in Bereshit or Genesis. King David prayed three words which are needed for change. They were create, renew, and restore. In Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a clean heart, and then says, renew in me a resolute spirit or unbendable spirit. Don't let me be swayed again into doing wrong things. And in 51 and verse 12, he says, restore my joy in your salvation. The same word that was spoken and created all things that Yehovah said were good can be spoken to you again to restore and create that which he originally made good. Yah's word makes everything good. He said it in creation and it was good. So he can do a good thing in each and every one of us. We need to have faith for more than just forgiveness. There is hope beyond forgiveness. Hope for Yehovah to change our heart and our desires so that we can cease from sin and bear fruit of life that desires the things of Yehovah. Do you lack desire for the will of Yah and have too much desires for that which is evil and wrong? Ask Yah to create in you a clean heart. It's part of my prayer life every day. I actually ask him to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me for everything I do and say during the day. I try to do the right thing. That doesn't mean I always do the right thing. I can still say the wrong things at times. But I pray each day that Yah will help me do the right one. I also ask him to give me the desire to do his will and not my will be done. Can't say I'm always successful, but I do try. Yah will and does answer that kind of prayer, but we have to have it as part of our prayer life for him to do it. So how do we get the love of Yah in our lives? Well, Romans 5 tells us it's done through the Ruach HaKodesh. We can't survive without the Ruach HaKodesh. Can we go to slide 16, please? In Romans 5 and verse 5 it says, "And this hope does not let us down, because Yah's love for us has already been poured out in our hearts through the Ruach HaKodesh who has been given to us. Do you want to be destroyed and cast away? All who don't bear fruit that gives life will be destroyed in this great battle of life between good and evil. But trees bearing the fruit of life, Yah will spare for eternity." In Proverbs or Mishlei 11 verse 30 it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." Notice the winning of souls for the kingdom and the fruit of the tree of life are associated together, and it comes from the Tanakh. Yeshua also spoke of the fig tree and the vineyard. Did you notice that the fig tree was in a vineyard? Did you ever stop to think, what is a fig tree doing in a vineyard? It's a vineyard. It's vines, grapes and grapes and grapes. What's a fig tree doing in a vineyard? Or did you just take it for granted that the fig tree was there? Like the fig tree, we don't belong to this world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. The fig tree was in the vineyard, but it wasn't a vine. No. And if we're going to be here, we have to bear better fruit than what we're bearing. Can we go to slide 17, please? I think this is the last one. In Luke 13, 6 and 7, when Yeshua gave this illustration, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit and didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "Here, I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree for 3 years now without finding any. Cut it down. Why let it go on using up the soil?" Yah does not think very highly of believers who do not produce fruit for souls to feed from and live. It uses up the good soil. It makes the ground idle. It's a waste of space in the ground. The ground could be better made use of for a tree that will bear good fruit. We are trees living in this earth today. I'm asking you, make your life count. Ask Yah to change your heart so that your desire will be to do His will and His alone. We should desire to bear fruit answerable to the change Yehovah has made in our life. Ask Him, change my sap, change my heart, my inner self, and He will do it. Let's now go to the remembrance service and praise Him for what He has done for us.